Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. This is Radio Shepherd, and I'm so glad you tuned in for the Thursday night Bible study, in which we're going to be talking about characteristics of a true Church of Christ, Part 2, characteristics. Of a true Church of Christ, part two. Last week we dealt with part one, and in part one we said that a true Church of Christ does three things. Its membership does three things. And of course, look, this Bible study is not exhaustive. There are other things that a true Church of Christ does than what you've learned last week and what you're going to learn today. But if we can stay within the parameter of these four things, three that I taught last week and the one that I'll teach tonight, if we can stay within the parameter of those four things, then we're well on our way to being a true Church of Christ. So by way of review, let's look at what we studied last week. And first and foremost, we said that a true Church of Christ is made up of people who continue in Christ's words. Let's read John chapter 8, verse 31 and verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So, one of the true characteristics of a church of Christ is that we continue in his words. See, if we continue. Now, a lot of people start out with Jesus but end up with self. But that doesn't make you a follower of Christ. That doesn't make you a true member of his true church. If you are to remain, if you are to be a true member of his church, and if you are to remain a true member of his church, you must continue in his, and we all start out with his words, but not all of us finish following his words. Somewhere along the line, we get twisted, or we get perverse, or we someone gets us off the straight and narrow path, and we're following the broad way. Sometimes it's not somebody who gets us off that path. Sometimes it's us. We get off that path, and we become our own authority. So Jesus said, a true characteristic of my church is that all of its members are disciples. They're all what? Disciples. That they continue in my words. And that they are free, because my word sets people free. So are we continuing Christ's words is one of the main questions. Are we continuing in his words? Then in John chapter 13, John 13, verse 34 and 35, we have the second characteristic of a true church of Christ. The Lord said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you would love one another. By this shall men know that you are what? My disciples, if ye have love one for another. So it's not just to continue in Christ's words, but also to emulate Christ's great mission. What was Christ's great mission to mankind? To express the love of God. For God so loved the world that this holy and righteous God loved this sinful and depraved world. So Jesus says, I'm the very expression of the love of God, and you will be the very expression of me if you continue in my word, and if you love one another, then will men know. Not because you have a sign outside the building that says Church of Christ, but they'll know it because you're living it. So first we must continue in Christ's words, then we must continue to emulate Christ in his mission for God, which is that we love one another. For God so loved the what? World. God loved the world. And he didn't just talk about it, he proved it when he sent his son to die on the cross. And then the third characteristic of a Christ church, a true church of Christ, is found in the Gospel of John chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. Jesus said, wherein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit? So shall ye be what? My disciples, that you do what? Bear much fruit. Are we fruit bearing? Are we fruit bearing? As my Father have loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. Are we bearing fruit, brethren? Are you bearing fruit as a Christian? Jesus said, by their fruit ye shall know them. Are you bearing fruit? So first, we must covenant to keep Christ's words. Second, we must covenant to love one another. Thirdly, we must covenant to do what? Bear much fruit. That's what we must covenant to what? To do. Bear much fruit. Now, today's lesson comes to us from the Gospel of John. John chapter 21. John 21. Beginning at verse number 15. John 21, 15. And here we have our second series, our part two. And it's a very interesting part two, whereas part one, point one, two, and three apply to members and leaders, because continuing Christ's words is for members and leaders. Loving one another is for members and leaders. Bearing much fruit is for members and leaders. This message today is really for leaders. It's applicable to leaders. If leaders are going to reflect Christ, then they must do what we're going to talk about today. And many of our churches today are not truly Christ's church. They don't represent Christ because of this second part. This second part, the church is failing tremendously in the second part. So let us pray. Father, we thank you for this study. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to us as you always do when we do these broadcasts. You always speak to us. You always show up, Lord. You always give us some revelation, some truth that will just move us along in our Christian walk. And we pray right now that you move us along and open our eyes to true leadership, true pastoral leadership. Give us the model today, Lord. Show us where we're deficient. Show us where we have failed thee. And show us where we have fallen. And what areas do we need to repent so that we can serve you the way you stated we should. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, today, if we're going to be Christ's church, if we're going to emulate, or rather showcase, if we're going to showcase the fact that we bear the true characteristics of Christ's church, then here's the fourth thing that we need to have in place. We, the leaders of Christ's church, must submit to his ministerial standard. We, the leaders of Christ's church, must submit to his ministerial standard. Now, John chapter 21, Gospel of John chapter 21, let's begin reading at verse number 15. And this is Jesus speaking to his primary leader there, what we call the beginnings, the embryonic stage of the early church. So it says, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto them, yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. And he said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, you know that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my sheep. And he said unto him a third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him a third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know that I love thee. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, feed my what? Sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed, 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 feed. Now, interesting that the Lord directs himself to Peter. Well, Peter was the one whom Jesus said, unto you I give the keys of the kingdom, that whatsoever you bind shall be bound, and whatsoever you loose shall be loose. Peter, among the 12, now the 11, because Judas had defected, but among the 11, Jesus had, or rather Peter had, primacy. In other words, Peter was chosen that when eventually Jesus would leave and go back to heaven, that it would be Peter who would lead the early church, at least the church in Jerusalem, the church, the first church, the mother church, if you will. And so the Lord says to Peter, look, Peter, my churches must have four characteristics. One is they must continue in my word, John 8, 31 through 32. Secondly, the disciples must covenant to continue in my love, John 13, 34 through 35. Thirdly, my disciples, my followers, my sheep and my lambs must covenant to bear much fruit. Now, those three we've already covered. But today, he says to Peter, 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 if my church is really going to be my church, if people are going to know that it's my church, then the leaders, now I'm directing myself to you, Peter, my leaders, and you're the primary leader right now, my leaders must have a high standard of ministry. A high standard of ministry. So now, who are they to take care of? Well, the leaders are to take care of two groups. They're to take care of new converts, and they're to take care of mature saints. The new converts are the lambs, and the mature saints are the sheep. So Jesus breaks it down into two groups, and then he says, you have to shepherd my lambs, you have to feed my lambs, and as you know, lambs get milk. And then he says, you have to feed my sheep, which means that sheep get grass. So basically what Jesus is saying to Peter is, in your pastoral theology, you must have a high standard. In other words, no one is to be left behind. You have to ensure, as the pastor, that everyone gets taken care of in the flock. You, Peter, have to feed my lambs, and you, Peter, have to feed my sheep. It's interesting because today, in many of our churches, the pastor really does nothing but preach on Sunday. That's interesting. Doesn't do much but just hold meetings and then shows up on Sunday and preaches a little message on Sunday. But really, we've fallen off when it comes to ministry, to pastoral ministry. Look, the Lord says to Peter, Peter, feed my lambs. In other words, it was the Lord said to Peter, you are supposed to take care of my new converts. You are to ensure that the new converts are taken care of. Now, when we look at shepherding, if we take all of the natural responsibilities of a shepherd when it comes to newborn lambs, how a shepherd is supposed to protect them from inclement weather, because lambs don't have fleeces. Little baby lambs don't have fleeces. They're just born. Their coat is not fully grown out. So lambs born in winter need a lot of care. And if there's, you know, in a birthing, if there are more than two lambs, and the sheep only has two udders, but if she gives birth to three lambs, then you need to rotate the three lambs on the two udders. See, and then sometimes the sheep needs help in birthing. So the shepherd acts as a midwife. Then you know that you can't take you can't take those ewes who have just given birth on long expeditions because the babies are just too small. And so there's a lot of things that go into taking care of new converts. And for those of us who have shepherded real sheep, we know that the work involved, and it takes a skilled hand to take care of new converts, a skilled hand, the same way it takes a skilled hand to take care of baby sheep, little lambs. It takes a skilled hand. You have to have a discerning eye. You have to see the way they walk and the way they react, and you have to monitor their senses on a daily basis. You have to see if they're assimilating to their surroundings. There's a lot of things that you have to look out for with lambs. Is their mother's milk having an adverse affection on their digestive system? Are they getting enough of their mother's milk with the colostrum, with the antibodies? See, there's a lot here. There's a lot. Not only that, but the mother needs to be fed a certain way. The mother's diet needs to be supplemented with vitamins. If you do not supplement the mother's diet with vitamins and with a certain kind of hay called first cut, you can't give a ewe second cut or third cut. It's not going to translate into the milk. The hay that is second or third cut is of a poorer quality. So when you go to your hay barn and you have first cut hay, you reserve that for your birthing ewes because it's in that hay that the best nutrients are found. So there's a lot involved in taking care of little lambs. You have to ensure that they don't get diarrhea. They have these little long tails. You didn't think that little sheep, little lambs had tails, but they do. And those get dirty, and those have to be cleaned. And there's a lot involved. And we're not even mentioning predators. How predators will come around. Now, those of us who, there are certain parts that we live in the United States where there aren't any wolves. But in place of wolves, there are foxes. There's foxes. And so in other areas, you have wolves and mountain lions and foxes. So in other areas, you just have foxes. But sheep are always exposed to predators. Lambs are always exposed to predators. And so are we feeding and are we protecting? And Jesus said to Peter, it's up to you. Now, Peter, you cannot farm this out. You cannot delegate this. And then the Lord says, now to my older sheep, who also now require that you have another set of skills. See, when your sheep, lambs, babies require one set of skills, and then to take care of sheep require another set of skills. And Peter, I require that you feed and you protect my older sheep, my mature saints. And you know that you have to have a diet for new converts and you have to have a spiritual diet for saints who've been in church for a while. And you got to have a diet for leaders. And so really what you have in the church is you have three groups. You have new converts, mature saints, and church leaders. And this is why the person who's leading the flock must ensure that all three of these groups get taken care of. Because the new converts need to grow and need to be protected. The new saints still need to grow, or rather the mature saints still need to grow and still need to be protected. And even church leaders need to grow. Do you know that church, just because you're a leader doesn't mean you stop growing? And it is the pastor, it is the senior pastor, that must ensure that even his church leaders grow. The pastor is required to give church leaders the right books and materials and lectures and study that will cause them to grow as leaders. And all of this was put on Peter's shoulder. Now, if we're really going to be the church of Christ, if we're going to really emulate Christ, then its leaders need to emulate the Lord. Peter must follow in Jesus' footsteps. Did not Jesus take care of the new converts? Yes, he did. Did not Jesus take care of the mature saint? Yes, he did. Did not Jesus take care of the church leaders? Yes, he did. He had the disciples with him for 3 years. He was mentoring them. You see, Jesus is asking Peter to do what he did. Now, the church today doesn't reflect this characteristic when it comes to its leadership. You know, most pastors have a hard time coming up with one message for Sunday. Have you noticed? Most pastors, most churches that you go to, the pastor, struggles to preach one sermon. They've had the whole week, because they don't teach the new converts class. Most pastors don't teach the midweek study. Most pastors give the new converts class to some other people, and the midweek Bible study, no, the pastor gives it out to somebody else. So really, they just show up on Sunday to preach one message. That's really what they're doing. They're getting paid all this money to preach one message, and then when you listen to the one message, you're scratching your head because you're saying, that's all this guy or this woman came up with this whole week. That's it. That's what we get from this individual after 1 week of study. This paltry meal, this slop, this reheated sermon. We heard this before. This person preached this 2 years ago. They just took out this verse and this title and they added it. This is a leftover sermon. We've already eaten this before. You see, we no longer have leaders like Martin Luther, the great reformer. Do you know that Martin Luther, the reformer, developed a catechism for children and he himself taught it? You know that Martin Luther, the great Dr. Luther, the great reformer who nailed the 95 theses on the wall, on the door of the Church of Wittenberg, University of Wittenberg. Do you know that that great reformer who took on the Pope and debated everyone the Pope sent his way, that great reformer who translated from the Greek the Bible and put it into the language of the people, it took him years to translate that the Bible into German. It took him years. And he found the time, despite the fact that he was doing translations, the fact that he was lecturing, the fact that he was, teaching children. I mean, this guy found time to teach Sunday school, not just the new converts class. He found time to teach Sunday school to the children. And we can't find pastors today who can preach one sermon on Sunday. We can't even get them to do that. Because when we look at what they're serving us, it's subpar. Subpar. And Jesus said, no, my preachers, my leaders can preach and preach and preach and preach and preach and teach and preach and teach and pray and preach and teach. They can evangelize. They can run revivals. That my leaders, those who are connected, remember, we must bear much fruit. All of us, in our different station and office in the church, we must bear much fruit. And my brothers, I don't think that bearing much fruit is producing one sermon per week. I'm sorry. That's not going to cut it. Preaching one sermon per week, and it's something we already heard? I'm sorry. That didn't even take care of the new converts. That was such slop. That message was such slop that even it's unedible for the new converts. Peter says, the Lord said to Peter, Peter, do you love me more than these? What's the these in the text? Well, the these are the disciples. Or the these could, some have speculated that the these are the fishes that they're looking at, and the fishes and the loaves. Do you love me more than money? Do you love me more than your former career, the fishing career? Do you love me more than these, your comrades, your buddies, your fellow students? Do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord. And the Lord asked him this three times, and scholars have said, well, he asked him three times because Peter denied him three times. So the Lord, in a very gentle way, is trying to restore Peter back into ministerial fellowship. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then prove it to me by feeding my lambs and feeding my sheep. You prove to me that you love me by taking care of what I love and died for, souls. Souls. Many of us today, we are in ministry because we love the position. You see, the position can be one of these. We can put that in the context of, do you love me more than these? So position and status can be one of the these. Peter, do you love me more than these? Well, what is the these? Well, do you love me, or do you love ministry only because it affords you with a parsonage? It affords you with a place to live, rent free. Is that why you love the ministry? Peter, do you love the ministry because as a result of being the pastor of this church, you have a salary and it's weekly and it's stable income? Do you love me because of that? Or rather, are you in ministry because you love that? Peter, are you in ministry because in addition to your salary and your leased car and your parsonage, you also have a wonderful health insurance policy? Are you in ministry because you love these? Peter, are you in ministry because in addition to your salary and your leased car and your parsonage and your medical insurance, you also love the ministry because one of the these is that the church has a 401k? Peter, you see, ministry is about loving Jesus. Because, you know, Jesus said to the disciples, you have to love one another. This is how men will know that you are truly my disciples, if you love one another. But here's another way in which people will know that we are disciples of Christ, especially us ministers, if we love Jesus. And if we love Jesus, then we will take care of that which Jesus loves. What does Jesus love? He loves his little lambs and he loves his sheep. Yeah, we love them by serving them slop every Sunday. That's how we love them. By giving them subpar, unedible messages on Sunday. By what we say, winging it on Sunday morning. You just get up there and you just wing it. Whatever comes out of your mouth, a few Bible verses, you say you say to the people, turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, or you turn to them and say, the devil is a liar. Listen. You listen to these messages, and once you remove all of those little say to your neighbor, or the devil is a liar, if you remove all of those cliches, what you're left is with a hollow message. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love. He says, start shepherding. Get involved with the new converts on a personal level. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know. Start shepherding. Get involved with the mature saints on an intimate level. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Okay, Peter, mentor the next generation of up-and-coming leaders, Peter. Yes, Lord, okay. Strengthen the church by strengthening every single group within the church body, new converts, mature saints, and up-and-coming leaders. See, I really think that in this area of leadership, senior leadership, I think that many churches are failing. Only because the pastor is detached. In fact, on Sundays now the pastors have bodyguards. On Sunday you can't even approach your pastor. Or sometimes on Sunday your pastor is double dipping, which means that he preaches the sermon he had for you, the reheated slop he served you, but then he's escorted out and put into his car because he has another speaking engagement. So he's getting money from you on Sunday, and then he's racing somewhere else where he's going to get an offering for preaching slop. And perhaps the people that he's going to go preach to, which aren't even his members, where he's going to go preach at some other church, maybe they get a better sermon than you do. Even though it's slop, it's just a higher grade of slop. And so he's whisked out of the church building while someone is making the announcements and someone is singing a hymn, and you're left there, and you wanted to shake the pastor's hand after the service and ask him when you can have an appointment with him, but now he's out. Why is he out? Because he loves his fame. He's developing his brand. He loves the fact that he's making getting an extra paycheck this week. Oh, they love the ministry, but they don't love the Lord. They don't love the Lord, because if they loved the Lord, they would stay put and get involved with the new converts, and they would get involved with the mature saints, and they would get involved with the leaders. That's what shepherding is all about. And the Lord said to Peter, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." Now, that's intimate talk. "Oh, I love my job. I love my..." Well, that's not what the Lord is asking. The Lord is asking, do you love him? Do you love the one who died for you? Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? So that if Jesus leaves you in charge of what is his and you claim to love him, you're going to do everything you can. You know, a couple of years ago, we've had some people ask us, couples, they're going on vacation, and friends of ours, and could we stay with their kids when they went to Europe for a week? And we said, not a problem. Bring the kids over. And boy, we took care of those kids like if they were our own. Why? Because we love the parents. We have a tight relationship with the parents. And these parents left their little lambs with us. And boy, did I dote on them. I mean, I doted on them like if they were my own kids. Because that's what you do. When you love somebody and they leave you in charge of what is theirs. And we have pastors today who just love the money. They love the prestige. They love the position. They love the accolades. They just love everything that comes along with the job. And they don't know Jesus. They don't have a relationship with Jesus. And as a result of not having a relationship with Jesus, you don't have a relationship with his lambs and with his sheep. And this is why the church, again, we're doing such a horrendous job. And you're not going to hear this at a pastor's conference. You're not going to hear this at a pastor's conference. No. In a pastor's conference, you're going to be told how to make extra money. You're going to be challenged to get your church to give you a 401k. What you hear in these pastor's conferences is, how do you get people to do more for you than they were doing last year? Well, you know, they ought to take care of the Lord's anointed. Well, we're all anointed now. All of God's children are anointed. If you didn't get that memo, let me tell you that all of God's children are anointed. They're connected to Christ. Are they not connected to... Is he not the head? Is Christ the Messiah? Is Christ the Messiah, not the head? So if the head is anointed, we're all anointed. And weren't you sealed? Weren't you sealed the moment you got saved? Weren't you sealed with the Holy Spirit of the day? And what is the Holy Spirit? The anointing. John says, little children, you have need no one teach you, for you have the anointing. Who's the anointing? The Holy Spirit. well, you know, the you go to these pastors, you got to teach your people how to take care of the anointed and not to speak against the Lord's anointed, not to touch the Lord. All baloney, nonsense, foolishness. All of this is about self. And we live in such a selfish age. And the first group of selfish people are the pastors who do nothing for the sheep other than to serve them slop on Sunday. And this is a pandemic. This is a pandemic. And this is why many people have left the church. Why are people unchurched? Why are they unchurched today? Why are so many people unchurched? Why have they left the church? Because they're tired of the pastor being a king. They're tired of the pastor's wife being a diva, the first lady. When she walks in, you have to genuflect. They're tired of hearing about the first family. They're tired of being fleeced. 3 and 4 offerings of service. They're tired of getting served slop. They're tired of hearing testimonies. These preachers, they get up and they just, it's one testimonial after another. And back when I was 18, the Lord said to me, but I already heard that. Can we move on? Do you have the word of the Lord today? And so many have left the church because they're tired of the games. No one is continuing Christ's words. No one is showing that they love one another. No one is really bearing any fruit. And much less the leaders. They don't love Christ, because if they loved Christ, they would be feeding the sheep. The fact that they're not feeding the sheep just says that they don't love Christ. The two are inseparable. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you're not feeding them, it's because you don't love me. That's it. That's the bottom line. And so here we have it, folks. This is what has become today. And then you have another group called the underchurched. The underchurched are the ones who love the brethren, love their church. They've been going there 30, 40, 20 years, 15 years, whatever the length of time is. They just love the, this is my church. But I really don't get much out of anything. I don't get anything out of Sunday school. Sunday school is watered down, because nobody really pays attention to what's really going on in Sunday school. And the curriculum for Sunday school is just so horrid. We get nothing out of Sunday school. And then we get nothing out of the Sunday message. We get nothing out of the prayer service, if there is a prayer service. We get nothing out of the midweek service, the midweek Bible. We get nothing there other than these are the titles that are covered over and over and over. Touch not the Lord's anointed. Don't forget to take care of the Lord's anointed. Don't forget to honor the man of God. If you honor the man of God's vision, then God will take care of your vision. All this psychobabble that we hear in churches today, that's the kind of teaching that go. Now, if those are your only themes, then they're played out. And so there are many who come to church, but they're under church. And by under church, I mean that they are under service. They're not receiving services. Last year, there was a scandal with the Veterans Administration. And what was the scandal? Well, that the veterans were getting underserved, that they had to wait 6 months for an appointment. You know, and I was saying to myself, but that sounds like the church. People want an appointment. Now, here you are. You're going to a church that has 100 people. You're going to a church that has 100 people, and 20 of those people are in the pastor's family. So, really, you're going to a church that has 80 people. Now, when you go, now that's a small church. Now, here you go to your pastor, and you say, Pastor, I need an appointment. He says, well, I can give you an appointment 3 months from now. Well, that sounds like the VA to me. Doesn't that sound like the VA to you? That here you are, you possibly you have cancer, and the VA is going to get, and time is of the essence if you have cancer, but the VA gives you an appointment to go see the oncologist 4 months from now. Well, wait a minute. I may not last 4 months. I may not last 2 weeks if I don't see an oncologist. I mean, I need to address this now. Well, that's what I mean by the church, underserving people. Many people are underserved. They can't get the services they need. They can't get the services that they need from their Peter. Why? Because Peter doesn't love the Lord. Peter loves playing golf. That's what Peter loves. Peter loves just loves playing golf with the guys. What pastor today doesn't play golf? They're all out there doing it. They're all out there going to having meetings. What's meetings? Eating for free. I went to a pastor's meeting and we were having lunch, and I went to a pastor's meeting and we were having dinner, and I went to a pastor's meeting and we were having breakfast. That's all they do. They have meetings where they eat. And then the people get served slop. Oh, and by the way, these pastors, they can't go to any old little, you know, mom and pop greasy spoon restaurant. No. Mm-mm. They have to go to these high-end restaurants on the church's dime. And meanwhile, on Sunday, people get served slop because the pastor's out eating at all these different meetings, hanging out with his buddies, playing golf. And no wonder on Sunday morning, they can only come up with one message. And that one message, you can just tell, is just slop. And so even at the leadership level, our churches don't reflect that they're true churches of Christ because the leaders are not connected to the Lord. That's why the Lord will say on that day, many shall come to me and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? And what will the Lord say to them? Yeah, you preached. Yeah, you got behind the pulpit every Sunday. But I don't know you. We didn't have a relationship. We didn't have the necessary talk. We did not have the kind of talk that Peter and I had there by the beach in John 21. We didn't have that conversation. I don't know you, you work of iniquity. Depart from me. So, one of the characteristics of a true church of Christ is that its leadership is connected to Christ and sold out for Christ. Connected to the Lord and sold out for the Lord. And how is that demonstrated? By the very way the pastor takes care of the new converts, the mature saints, and the up-and-coming leaders. That's going to do it for today, my brothers and sisters. I really want you to ponder what was said here today. Really want you to think about it. As we close, I want to remind you that tomorrow we have another word of exhortation for you tomorrow. On Monday, we had three words of exhortation this week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Monday's word was that we need to emulate Christ. We need to do as Christ did. And what did Christ do? He prayed without ceasing. Wednesday, yesterday, I spoke about that we need to emulate, or we need to do what the early church did. And what did they do? They prayed without ceasing. Or rather, what the apostles did. They prayed without ceasing. Tomorrow, Friday, I'm gonna exhort all of you to do what the early church did. What did the early church do? They prayed without ceasing. So Christ prayed without ceasing Monday. The apostles prayed without ceasing Wednesday. And tomorrow, Friday, the church prayed without ceasing. So if we can emulate Christ, the apostles, and the early church, and if we can take up praying without ceasing, then that'll be another characteristic that we are the true church of Christ. Well, until tomorrow, May the Lord keep you and bless you. And let me play this hymn for you that is bound, that is bound, that is bound to bless you. It is entitled, Do They See Jesus in Me? Do They See Jesus? And I hope that after today, they will. Amen.